Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night, and good luck.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the Lincoln Project Podcast. You know, disappointment is something that comes to all of us in life. We fall short of what we want to be or do or achieve or have. And disappointment is about to become the constant companion of the Trump fanboy base because MAGA is in for a very rough ride. That's the elephant in the room. Let's get to it. You know, folks, Pete Hegseth is now in the death spiral of his appointment to be Secretary of Defense. He was never qualified for the job, obviously. He was never an acceptably experienced candidate for the job, obviously. He was never a guy whose background was suited for the job. And what we've learned since we've last talked about this this particular appointment is that Pete Hegseth is a guy who struggles with alcohol.
Quote, Hegseth drank in ways that concerned his colleagues at Fox News, according to 10 current and former Fox News employees. 10. Two of those people said that on more than a dozen occasions during Hegseth's time as a weekend anchor, they, quote, smelled alcohol on him before he went on the air.
Who's been fired from two veterans organizations for personal and financial misconduct.
He's accused of using the organization's funds to party, sexually pursue female staffers, and repeatedly being so drunk in public, employees had to care for him.
Who is engaged in multiple extramarital affairs, and who, again, as most folks do know, paid off a woman after they had a sexual encounter, which she described as an assault, and he paid her off with a non-disclosure agreement.
When she got up to leave, Hegseth blocked the door with his body. Her next memory was when she was on a bed or a couch and Hegseth was over her. His dog tags were hovering over her face.
He's a bad guy. He's never a good guy. He was never a qualified guy. He never had anywhere near the experience to run this. He crashed two organizations that had budgets of $5 and $10 million from what I read. Not great. But the disappointment isn't really just about Pete Hegseth, because they're going to substitute him for Ron DeSantis or whomever, and they're going to be fine with it. The disappointment is that every one of these losses, first Matt Gaetz, now Pete Hegseth, soon RFK, Tulsi Gabbard, and more, all those losses break a certain illusion about Trump, break a certain magical thinking about Trump, break a certain perception about Donald Trump. And that perception so far, since 2016 with his base, is he never loses. He has always got a secret plan. There's always 87-dimensional chess going on. There's always some secret Trumpian magic underneath the surface that I meant to do that. No, he didn't mean to do that, guys. And the thing about this is there are going to be a lot of things that happen here in the coming months and years where people who believed when they were holding up a sign that said mass deportations now, that it was going to be great. They were going to love it. It was going to be fun and amazing and transgressive, and it won't be. The MAGA base stands to be disappointed on that front in two different ways. First off, if he does it, crashes the economy, wrecks the country, causes untold chaos and division and destruction, people will be very, very, very pissed off when their legal family members are having their doors kicked down. Because that's what will happen. People are going to be very pissed off when they don't get, the MAGAs don't get a repeal of birthright citizenship, when they don't get criminal penalties for everybody who hires an illegal, you know, that are felony penalties, where they don't get the 5 billion foot tall laser moat and robot alligator wall on the border. They've set themselves up for this because they buy into Trump's sales pitch, literally. And when that happens, and it's going to happen for us across a whole bunch of different domains. Okay. Now look, is he going to try to do very terrible, horrible, bad things? Absolutely. Is he going to succeed in doing some of them? He will. But it's important to keep this in context. The more we watch Trump's early stages of this administration, the people that are going to make it past Senate vetting are largely incompetents rather than the true arsonists. Some are. Russ Vaught is going to make it through. He's an arsonist. But a lot of these people aren't crazy enough for the MAGA base. A lot of these people are going to throw all of it back onto Donald Trump. And Donald Trump needs a firewall. He needs a sink. He needs a ground circuit to prevent the ugliness of Project 2025, which, by the way, folks, I saw some polling on Project 2025 this week, not election polling, this week. It is still deeply unpopular. And the more Republicans find out about it, the more they stand to become disappointed in what it means for them and for their lives. You think you're going to get rid of the Department of Education? Sure, you might. Well, that's going to have an impact on people's lives in the states. Think you're going to get rid of Social Security? Some Republicans are trying that right now. They are talking about that right now. You've got Vivek Ramaswamy of the Doge, who wouldn't answer the question, are you guys going to recommend to Trump to cut Social Security? You've got all these folks, oh, we're going to undo Obamacare. We're going to get rid of the protections for pre-existing conditions and things like that. You know, folks, I fought Obamacare pretty hard when I was a Republican operative. I got to tell you, I did. It has actually worked out better for this country than I could have imagined for a simple reason. It was a free market solution to a free market problem. And there are a lot of people on the left that didn't like what Obama did. But I promise you, when Trump says, oh, we've got to save those poor, struggling mom and pop health insurance companies by getting rid of the pre-existing conditions argument, that's going to hit a lot of MAGA folks right in the face and the wallet. Just a quick aside. If you think that you're going to go to the mattresses and defend cutting entitlements, it's where the money is. Republicans have been making this play and this promise for as long as I've been in politics. And every time they get close to the third rail, they pull back. You know why they pull back? Because the dirty little secret is Americans are okay with a little bit of socialism. So Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, they're okay with those things. They've made a decision. They're okay with that. Now, the fourth rail of that is disability, which I am all for reforming. And I promise you, a lot of folks in the MAGA cohort are not, for a lot of reasons. Anyway, but to get back on this disappointment that they're going to get is going to happen over and over again. They believe Trump is Napoleon, that he's Genghis Khan, that he's Caesar, that he's Alexander, that he's some massive historical figure who always is ahead of everybody else. He's not. He's not. He's an evil, shitty old man, okay? But he's not magical. He doesn't have superpowers. He doesn't have some ability to predict the future and play 87-dimensional chess. All these nominees that are falling apart because Trump is a terrible judge of human character. They're falling apart because he made these decisions impulsively or intuitively or randomly, however you want to look at it. And none of them were ever going to be great candidates for these serious jobs. Now, again, some of them are going to go through, okay? Marco Rubio is going to go through. He just is. The Senate courtesy BS, it's going to go through. Pam Bondi, as a sense of relief against Matt Gaetz, even though she is corrupt as hell, Pam Bondi will go through. You're going to be shocked by how normal they will pretend to be, and the Senate will take that easy route out. But of the people that they really wanted, the people the MAGA base was into, that they loved, like, look, there are a lot of MAGAs really unhappy about Marco Rubio being Secretary of State. They think he's a neocon and this and that, blah, blah, blah. The people they wanted were the transgressive people, the vengeance people, the people that were going to drive out the wokeism, whatever that means, the people that were going to go in and burn things down. Now, look, the one guy that's still on that list is going to make it through most likely is OMB, is Russ Vaught, author of Project 2025, which turned out to be the plan all along. Who knew? We did. But look, this idea, this idea that Donald Trump's administration, that the crazies were going to lead the way without opposition is wrong. Now, I want to talk a little bit about why that opposition is another part of this elephant in the room. slowly but surely, Democrats are waking up from their post-election sad Civil War coma. Oh, they fought it out a little bit. They got mad at each other. They you know had a run around, had a ruckus. Time to move on, folks. We got to get back to work. And they are starting to realize you have to fight these people. You have to fight them in their confirmation hearings. Now, Senator Schumer has returned as the Senate Minority Leader in the Senate. I would have preferred younger and more aggressive blood. There is a sense right now of we'll pick our fights. We're gonna select the ones we really want to go after, and you know that's the wrong strategy. Okay, you want to make sure that every appointee that is confirmed by the U.S. Senate is subjected to meaningful, consequential, serious questioning for two reasons. We want to disqualify the worst of the worst. Okay, Hegseth, Gabbard, RFK, some of these other clowns that are on that list. And for the ones who are less controversial, even though, by the way, Donald Trump is appointing a record number of felons to senior positions in government, you know, takes one to know one, I guess. You want to make sure that all those normie-ish Trump appointees are quizzed and queried and held to account. You want to roll questions in that are going to be relevant to their departments to show that they don't know what the F they're doing. You want to make sure that you're pushing and pushing and pushing. What about Project 2025 and this policy? What about that policy? What about this policy? You can't let these people just skate through. I'll tell you why. Because in 12 to 16 months from now, the 2026 election starts. I want the disappointment that Republicans feel by not getting their crazies and by not having an easy ride to do the stupid, horrible, cruel things they want to do depresses Republican turnout in that election. This is 101 stuff, folks. This is the easiest lift in the world. You should know this by now. You want to make sure that their base is confused, chaotic, broken, because look, Donald Trump is a lame duck president the second he takes his grubby paw off that Bible. There are going to be a lot of competing interests in the Senate. There are going to be a lot of competing interests in the House. And the disappointment question, if you keep raising that and showing the Republican, low propensity Republican base voters that won this election for him, that he's full of shit, that he can't deliver, that he can't do what he promised, that all the showmanship and all the garbage and all the drama and all the hair pulling and all the fight was all shit, shit, shit. You want people to understand in his base that the con game that he pulled on them again when those tariffs hit, Xi wakes up in the morning, the tariffs are put out there. And you know what he does? He cuts off a bunch of orders and says, oh, well, we got tariffs in return. And we're not going to ship you certain products. And we're not going to do certain things. Because folks, whether you like it or not, the U.S. and China have a symbiotic economic relationship. I don't think it's great. I think there's a lot wrong with it. But it's a reality. And for all that there's a segment of the Republican Party goes, so Chinese Communist Party, CCP. Y'all, China does not exist without us economically and vice versa at this point in our history. Tariffs are not going to change that. What they are going to do is absolutely screw middle-class consumers to the floor. So there's another disappointment MAGA voters are about to experience. You know why? Because people at the upper end of the economic spectrum, they don't like it when prices go up. They don't like it when inflationary pressures make gas $4 a gallon instead of $3.25 or whatever the numbers are. They don't like those things, but they are relatively speaking immune to the consequences of those things. By the way, the sneezing you're hearing, my dogs are rolling around on the floor like they're puppies right now. Both of you, enough. But middle-class MAGA supporters, When you got to figure out, guys, 80% of Walmart's products come from China. 80% of Target's products, a little less at Target, come from China. And you think those tariffs aren't going to hurt Trump voters? Tariffs are taxes. Those taxes are not paid by foreigners. They are paid by the people here in America. And even with those, even with steep tariffs, you are not going to revive the American toilet brush industry in any meaningful way. Those high prices are going to hurt regular consumers. Just as normal post-COVID inflation hurt regular consumers because companies also jack their prices up, there'll be the tariff jack up in the price, but then they'll also jack the price up further. The American corporations will do that, and they will screw the MAGA consumer. So when you're going to buy socks, or you're going to buy dishwashing liquid, or you're going to buy whatever else it is, you're going to end up paying more because of Donald Trump's ego and arrogance and economic ignorance about tariffs. Again, a disappointment.
Clothing prices could go up by around 12%. So an $80 pair of jeans could cost you 90 bucks. Toy prices may rise even more. Since so many are imported from China, that means they could go up around 36%. So that $50 tricycle could end up costing you around 68 bucks. Household appliances, too. Prices of those could increase by around 19%. So a fridge that used to cost $650 could set you back almost $776.
You're also going to see Trump, for all of his swagger and all of his bullshit and all of his I'm the tough guy, everybody bows to my will. I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen on the foreign policy front. Hamas is going to give a shit about Donald Trump. They're going to kill those hostages anyway. Iran doesn't give a shit about Donald Trump. They know he's on a short clock. They know the moment they announce that they're going to continue to support Hamas or Hezbollah, that Trump's not going to do anything meaningful about it. China, same story. Kim Jong-un, he's on Kim's side, for God's sake, versus South Korea and Japan. So, and of course, the big kettle of disappointment there. It's going to be amazing to watch all of the MAGA people who are like, I hate Ukraine and Zelensky's a criminal and that's a... It's going to be amazing to watch them defend Donald Trump as he sides with Vladimir Putin and engages in the most significant betrayal of an American ally. And you watch Russian tanks roll into Kyiv. This is a guy who is unable to process sophisticated information about foreign policy. He sees it all through the venal, shallow lens of his own ego, his own arrogance, his own like third grade understanding of the world. Walls and wheels.
Two things never change, walls and wheels. Wheel will never change. You know, they were talking about technology. Technology is no good without the wall. But it's something that I've heard for a long time. Two things you will never change in 1,000 years from now, a wheel and a wall.
He thinks that the oceans protect us now in a global society. He thinks that tariffs are a real thing, which every economic thinker in the universe has abandoned since the 1920s. You might as well go back to medieval serfdom at this point as an economic model, because that's clearly about his level of understanding. Trump is great when he's on the outside. Thought about this a lot since the election. 2016, he was great on the outside, the transgressive a-hole, the guy who was blowing stuff up, the guy who would tear up the scenery on the stage. He did the same show this year, and it has a broader appeal than any of us calculated. For those super low propensity voters he pulled out. Has a broader appeal for those young male voters he pulled out. It's a real thing. But the disappointment question for those people is they bought an image. They bought not just Donald Trump from The Apprentice, which is what sold him in 2016. They bought Donald Trump the superhero. He's bulletproof, literally and physically and philosophically. He's prescient. He's powerful. He always knows everything that's coming at him, this or that. Doesn't. He's an old man. He's not a smart guy. He's feral. He's cunning. He's clever. But he's not smart. He's not an intelligent person. These appointments that you're seeing fall apart right now, and Trump betraying them, I mean, when Maggie Haberman goes on CNN and says Trump is already talking that he doesn't, that he's unhappy about Pete Hegseth.
Trump has been complaining privately to people that he feels like Hegseth should have been more upfront with him, that he gave him opportunities, that he, no, I don't know whether that's true, but that's what Trump is saying.
This is a pattern we've seen over and over and over again. Everything Trump touches dies. These people that are falling apart in their nominations right now are a preview of things to come. Everybody in the cabinet will someday have the baleful glare of Donald Trump looking down at them. At least Stefanik's going to go to the UN. He's going to find a way one day to say, is she doing a good job? I don't know if I like her or not. It's Marco, same thing. Whoever finally gets Secretary of Defense, if it's DeSantis or whomever, he's going to finally say, wait, you wouldn't allow me to deploy American active duty military troops against civilians in a riot somewhere, so you're a bad Secretary of Defense. These people never learn the lesson. He betrays everyone. He betrays every single person who's ever worked for him. He's never kept an oath in a marriage, in a business deal, as a candidate. Never, once, ever. He always breaks his promises. He always screws his allies. And the people out there who thought they elected some sort of superhero is going to change the world for them, they're in for a big disappointment. And that, my friends, is the elephant in the room. Hey, catch us every Thursday night on The Breakdown. You can also catch my other podcast, The Enemies List, over on Resolute Square, available on Apple, Spotify, and wherever fine podcasts are found. And you can catch my writings on my Substack at therickwilson.substack.com. And on social media platforms, all of them at The Rick Wilson. In rank order, I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on Threads. I'm on Sez, which I'm trying to get into that a little bit. I'm still on Twitter. I haven't quit Twitter. I'm not quitting Twitter. I'm just there to abuse people from time to time. I took it off my phone. Try it. Your sanity will improve. Instagram and, you know, all the other social media platforms that have grown out there like Topsy over the last decade. Anyway, folks, thanks again for listening. We will see you again next time.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joseph Wartner-Cheney. Produced and edited by Whitney Hayes and Jeff Taylor.
And good luck.
Hey, everybody, if you would like to get in touch, if you have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just general questions, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. That's podcast@lincolnproject.us.